Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 102, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries, and fuck Fox News.
Fuck them too.
It's Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I was like, oh shit, my ass is bodacious. Shoulder with some nips and skin that's all pasty. Looking for something to do with my hands. Took a few weeds with one of my friends. I'm leaving, please believe in. Try to stand up, my legs lost all feeling. Gotta stop taking whatever Miles has. What the hell do people do with their hands? That is courtesy of at Pod Moran, or Jesus. Moran.
Moran. Fancy moron.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. But I got ED, so I cannot get it up. And every single weekday, this second-rate podcast goes up. And it stays there. That game say yeah. And they say a taco, taco, taco.
Bell, because all I do is win, win,
yeah.
Win.
That's right.
Jacob Ballou.
Jacob
Thank
Ballou.
You at Jacob Ballou for that one, because that's true. All we do is win.
Any no matter Bell. What. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know.
And we say yeah, and they stay there.
We do also do that.
Yep.
Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented host of Behind the Bastards and the new podcast on this very network, Worst Year Ever, as well as It Could Happen Here. He is Mr. Robert Evans.
Somebody say Civil War?
Yep.
Yes.
Hi.
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Saying Civil War.
What timing?
It's a fun meme.
It's a fun meme.
Yes. Yeah, the president's talking all about Civil War, and then Robert's like, hey, I'm here.
Yep.
Want to talk about it? I'd like to hear it. Here it goes. Have you been?
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Preparing for the Civil War.
Yeah. Getting your LASIK eye surgery?
Getting my LASIK eye surgery. Getting just stockpiling, you know, a little bit of stockpiling here, a little bit of stockpiling there.
A little bit of bagels. Some creamers.
A little bit of like taking groups of friends out to the gun range, like ostensibly as just a way to hang out, but really so that people will have my back. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you're actually adjudicating them whether or not they're worthy to be in your posse. You're like, ooh, I don't know about that grouping.
I mean, there's like the two categories, which is like actual team and then cannon fodder. So like you need both, it. You know?
Right.
You want someone in the decoy house.
Well, you saw me. I did a dime grouping from 200 yards. So hopefully that's enough to be in the A team.
Yeah,
I was always on JV as a kid. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So I stopped playing basketball.
Do you make up your, like the people you're hanging out with based on like, which group, like you always need to have a couple of people from group A?
Yeah, you always want a couple of group A's with you, a couple of group B's that, again, you can send out to the decoy house.
decoy
house. So I'm assuming that in the office currently, super producer Anahos and EA Miles are group A. They can kill people. And then
just with my farts.
I would be probably cannon fodder.
Actually, the only person group A here is Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Anderson's a killer. Yeah. Yeah, including me. Yeah. It's all decoys, and then Anderson is on the kill team.
That's the one who has like the information embedded.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. All right, Robert. Fine. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. There's still a Democratic primary going on. And,
Right.
Mayor Pete Buttigieg is still in the race. So we're going to check in with him as he tries to prove that he is normal human being, man.
Chill centrist.
Totally like you. Just a dude who likes to chill out.
And be the center.
Watch some TV. be the center. We're also going to see who Elizabeth Warren is scaring right now, which extremely rich people she's scaring. We are going to check in with our ongoing segment, Blow the Whistle. Blow the whistle. Specifically, we are going to look at Pompeo refusing to let the State Department officials testify, Trump's threats of violence, where Trump's approval rating is compared to overall support for impeachment. This is all because of Russia. So we're going to check in with that.
Yeah.
We're also going to look at the Ukrainian child / adult adoption story has an update. We're going to check in with that. We're going to look at the scariest Halloween costume and which fast food restaurant is putting it out. I guess it would be unintentionally scariest. And then we're going to look at the Joker movie, which is coming out, I guess, this weekend. And all the hubbaloo about...
Hubbaloo.
Because everybody knows that one guy did the shooting at the last Batman movie. Not the last Batman movie.
No, that was a cute few Batmans ago.
The last good Batman
And a lot movie? Of Marvels ago.
Right.
Yeah, many Marvels ago.
Most of the Marvels, right? Yeah. Yeah.
But because that guy said, I'm the Joker, you know, everybody knows that they need to be scared about this movie coming out, except that dude never said that. So we're going to look into that. But first, Robert, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I mean, I have been looking up night vision scopes for one of my rivals.
Jesus.
So I guess that's revealing. I've also been looking up, just constantly checking every day on Eric Prince's various planes. He has a bunch of different ones registered with the FAA, and I check in on a couple of them every day, just seeing how.
What about the ones that probably aren't?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah.
The good news is there's a lot of just random people with cameras who take pictures of planes taking off and landing at every airport in the world. So you do have a pretty good idea of where some of his shit is at.
Wait, there are people just as hobbyists are just like, we like to just take a photo of every plane.
That's how, you remember on the episode of Behind the Bastards we did, we talked about
that Eric Prince.
That crop duster he armored and set up to fight. That's how it got caught, because it was someone just took a picture of this weird plane taking off at the airport at Malta, and then a bunch of like researchers were like, oh, that's a bunch of illegal military modifications on this crop duster. And it was just some guy who's just like, I like planes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to all the plane files out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's interesting. And then you can track where they're taking off, where they're landing.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different sites for it. Some of them are, like, I think Plane Tracker is the name of one of them. I forget off the top of my head what it's called. But there's, some big ones that you can get normal subscriptions to. But, like, if a rich person is like, I want you to remove my registration from your history, they'll do it, on request. And then there's this one ADS-B database, which is, like, just a bunch of nerds collecting information on all of the world's planes and where they're going. And they don't remove shit.
So you can just keep track of the comings and goings of the people who secretly run the world.
Yeah. Drake. Any rich person. Yeah.
Bezos. Michael Jordan.
Check
Bezos.
Out their shit. Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Yes. She's got a vanity registration on her plane. I used to know it off the top of my head. It's got TS in it, obviously, and then the number of Grammys or whatever she's won.
Yeah. Oh,
so cool.
Light flex.
You're saying mm-hmm. Michael Jordan's is 23,
Michael Jordan's is 236 MJ, I think.
Oh, okay.
In 236 MJ.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
right, because he was number 23, has six just rings. Be, yeah.
It's not fuck them kids.
That's right.
He's a big asshole.
And I thought you were saying he'd fucked kids.
His attitude towards being charitable towards kids. He's just like,
that is
fuck
where I
kids.
Knew where I was most familiar with tail numbers and the tracking of flight logs from was Jeffrey Epstein.
Epstein
story.
And
also A Few Good Men, which was only implicitly about a child sex ring. Let's talk about overrated. What's something you think is overrated?
Horses. Get with the fucking car.
You're saying horses as a mode of transportation?
Just period.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't need them. Not useful.
Yeah. This has been a thing for you. You have an anti-horse agenda.
I really dislike horses. Yeah.
Who is overrating horses?
I think the world. I know Lisa Frank, the covers of those notebooks that a lot of people had when I was in middle school, that overrated horses and unicorns significantly.
Have you seen what Lisa Frank looks like?
No.
She is a trip, and she is notoriously
very isolated.
You are
visibly excited to show me this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She looks like someone who makes
psychedelic folders.
Yeah, she looks like someone who has not come down from acid in the last
She looks like the perfect
years.
Blend of horse girl and acid person on acid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, horses are beautiful creatures. You would disagree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Think they're ugly?
I think they're unnecessary, Jack. We have dogs and we have cows. A horse, it's we have Jeeps and we have trucks. A sport utility vehicle is unnecessary.
Oh, so you're saying we've as a society, as a species, have moved past riding on animals because technology has replaced
them? Well, not all animals. I think some animals, if you can ride a tiger, you should.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
so this
I support that.
There's a whole mythology around this take that
I have a
understand.
Lot of complicated feelings on this.
Have you ridden a tiger? Have you seen a riding tiger before?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet, but I do believe that it's possible.
Right, right. You'll know it when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any instances where horses can do what machines can't, like riding over a mountainous terrain?
I feel like you could just
do an off wheel.
Get a barrel and roll down the mountainous terrain in a barrel.
Yeah.
Better than a horse.
What if horses were
cheaper?
That
doesn't seem true, by the way, but we'll move on from that.
It's
not about the expense.
It's not about the expense.
It's not about the expense.
I'm more put off on it's just become more of a class signifier if you're really into horses. Like at a certain level.
Yeah.
Obviously there are people who are horse riding and things like that, but people who are like, I love my horse. I'm like,
I think that's part of it. I think horses are pulling one over on us.
Wow.
I think they are running a long con, and it's time people woke up.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Are jodhpurs, that's a riding boot, correct?
I do support jodhpurs, but not when being used with a horse.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
This is all good information to have.
Well, those are the ones blown out, the pants blown out the side, right?
Yeah, very British.
Oh, I think they're boots.
No, they're pants, because I remember someone said my pants looked like them because I stretched the knee part too much out and they were blooming out the sides. I'm like, what do you got, jodhpurs on? And I threw those pants away because I became very self-conscious.
Mm-hmm. What is something you think is underrated?
Stalking.
Okay.
Well, okay. I think it's a skill that can be used for good or for evil. If you're just stalking another random person, particularly because it's someone that you're into, that's bad. But if you're stalking the right people, that's really good.
Like, what do you mean? Like
Jeffrey Epstein. People needed to be stalking Jeffrey Epstein. If more people had been stalking Epstein for longer, might have saved some kids some trauma.
So maybe a slight, would you say vigilance?
I would just say
vigilante stalking.
Stalk responsibly.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Responsible stalking for good.
Stalking for good.
Or
yeah.
Keeping track of the baddies.
Yeah, that's my new 501c, SFG, stalking for good.
Stalking
yeah.
for good.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
It's a C3 or C4?
C3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you know who are your donors?
Oddly enough, Eric Prince.
Oh, great.
Lots of money from Echo Papa. Really, like, significant investments.
Who do you think is understocked?
I think Jeff Bezos could stand to be stalked more.
Yeah.
I think for his own safety, people should be stalking Kanye more. I worry about him.
Yeah. Wow. You're worried about him?
I'm always worried
In
about
what
Kanye.
Sense?
I think he is somebody who could really use some help from somebody who doesn't want any money from him. And he wasn't a fan of his music, but just cares about him being a happy person.
Yeah, well, his whole new shit is definitely taking on a cult vibe. Because it's becoming church with him being the central figure at these church services.
That seems like a bad evolution for him.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That seems like it might end with him buying a compound in the jungle and telling people to move there. And I worry about that.
Well, I mean, he was developing his own form of housing structures and things like that the city was like, you got to knock this shit off because none of this is permanent.
No,
what the
Kanye,
fuck are you doing?
No.
Yeah.
Wait, he was trying to design his own, like, form of housing?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. he felt like it could be affordable and spread over, like, that people could live in, like, Yeezy pods.
Right, there were pods. Yeah, I remember
that,
like, actually.
Dome structures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, see, this all concerns me. All of the pieces of a dangerous cult are there, and nobody screwed him together, thankfully, because I don't think he has bad intentions as a person.
No, he just has an ego.
He just has an ego, but I'm very worried that all of these different disparate things could eventually become kind of like a rat tail wrapped up in his ego, and then we could have a really dangerous cult. So
big
rat
king of a cult.
I want some good-natured people in like a friendly and emotionally supportive way to be stalking Kanye.
Well, those are his fans.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, no, but not his fans. See, well, that's
not
the problem.
Okay,
his
not
fans
easy
are never
stance.
Gonna, yeah.
Right. I think people who don't give a shit about his music.
Yeah.
Who aren't like, I'm going to kidnap you and make your first album over again.
Yeah, like me. I don't care for his music, but I want him to be okay as a person.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm trying to like sort of responsibly stalk Kanye West.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like his music, but I think he's the Buckminster Fuller of our time and just needs to get back to work on those Kanye pods. Yeah. So, what is a myth?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this kind of ties into the stuff with the Joker. It's a myth that Heath Ledger was like all like went way too into that character, that he like stayed in character the entirety of the filming of The Dark Knight,
right.
And that like he lost himself.
Internalized
it. None of that's true. Like,
where is that born out of?
I think
cracked.
It was...
I think we wrote that once.
Whoops. I think it was in general, like after he died, especially, and like after everybody saw how good the performance was, they just like these myths started that he had like gotten way too into the character and a bunch.
Well,
of people
Jack Nicholson came out and was like, I warned him.
Yeah,
I warned him that the Joker would take him down.
Oh, so I wonder if that fed this thing that because Jack Nicholson said he warned him that in fact the curse of the Joker is true or some shit.
And there's pictures of him just like posing when he's like in makeup and stuff, but like smiling with other members of the cast and like looking like a normal person. There's pictures of him out of makeup, like eating dinner with everybody during the filming. Like one of the, I forget which one of his co-stars said that, like, no, in between shots, we would like talk about his like kids and stuff.
Right.
Not Ledger's, I think, but like the actors. And like, the people who were actually on set with him, like, there was no hint that like he had gotten, like, the actual story seems to be, like, definitely in the wake of his death, it was framed as like, oh, he got way too into this character and
right.
just broke him, and that's why he wound up ODing. And the reality seems to be, no, he just had a drug problem and he overdosed, and it's a tragedy, but like it had nothing to do with him playing the Joker and it taking over his mind.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
bummer.
So I think the stuff we wrote about on Cracked was that he, like, for research in the role, he like holed up in a hotel room for part of the time and like did like a bunch of like got into the character and was like scribbling weird shit.
Oh, sure. Well, then I was definitely getting into character. My entire time in college.
Yeah, I just don't think, like, he wasn't like, he seems like everyone who ever worked with him said he was like a great guy to work with, and a great guy to work with wouldn't be like, yeah. staying in the character of a murderous yeah, clown like, the entire
all right,
time.
Dude, where should we okay. eat? He's like, I don't know. And you're like, oh, dude, please. And if you break another pool cue.
Burns the craft services table yeah. down.
Can you, why, are you why are you still in that nurse's outfit?
Well, all right. Yeah. I was actually curious. You were one of the rare people who actually put answers next to the categories yeah. on the page, and your myth was cars.
It seems so broad.
Yeah, I decided I didn't want to get into that here, but okay. I do have a conspiracy theory about...
That cars don't exist.
Yep.
Right.
Interesting.
Yep.
And only horses do.
You never seen a car and a horse in the same place at the same time?
All right, man. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but... let's do the opposite of that conversation and talk about Mayor Pete, the most
the horse
normal,
of men.
Yes, of horse and men. Pete Buttigieg is just normcore. He is the most centrist of central people.
Yeah,
he
you know
tiny little man.
He did a really cool Hollywood Reporter. Interview, you know?
Yeah.
Not sure what...
It was basically, I like all of the things that are most popular.
Yes.
Yeah, no,
which
right.
is, like, fine. Like, yeah, it's fine.
Exactly. Like, he says he, you know, liked Star Trek, TNG.
Right. Yeah.
Fucked with Jean-Luc Picard, okay?
Right. See, nobody ever asked the right follow-up question with that.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, cool, okay.
What's I think favorite interview... Huh? What's your favorite episode? What does he do in that episode?
No,
just,
no.
Like, really trying to catch him.
Oh, you're a fan of TNG. Well, that presupposed that the only utopian society would be a post-capitalist one. How do you feel about that, Pete?
And what's your take on Guinan?
Right.
Guinan?
Oh, I've got hella takes on Guinan. That's that, but we're going to have to save that for the Guinan
cast. For another
cast.
Show, yeah. Yeah. Behind the Bastards, Guinan. And then also, they asked him, you know, like, what kind of TV do you binge watch? He's like, well, you're like, I like to channel surf before going to bed. And they're like, I'll catch a little Family Guy or Rick and Morty. Okay, interesting.
Cool.
You like the tunage, like the Youngies. Well, actually, no, Family Guy. What are you talking about? This was that one.
Yes, and, when and I was watching famous TV. Show to like come in on the middle of an episode and watch 3 minutes of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, right. You're like, oh, I get it. What happened? Right. Then they said Game of Thrones, man, hit us with it. What do you like about Game of Thrones? Who are you loving? He goes, well, I think Tyrion was a really good political strategist, although some
bold take.
Yeah, didn't work out. And then again, even better one. And you know, Daenerys was really rooting for Khaleesi. For a while, but then at the end there, she kind of blew it.
Huh.
Oh.
Interesting.
Okay. I was surprised he wasn't just going to be like full-throated, like, I love Daenerys.
Right.
That's it for me.
I think that city had it coming.
Do. Yeah, exactly.
Carpet bomb it, baby.
Right. Just fucking raise that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And then they asked him, who's your favorite superhero? Mm. And this is the answer I love. He goes, the one I identify with most is Spider-Man because he's a relatively regular guy, kind of nerdy guy who finds himself in a position of power and it complicates his day-to-day life, but he's trying to figure out how to do good with it. But who would I want to be? Obviously, Batman is a billionaire and he's got all the great gear, so that's appealing. Mm. Then again, he doesn't really strike me as happy. So yeah, I'm going to stick with Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
So it was, he'd rather be the billionaire if the guy was happy.
Right.
But then he'll just stick with the nerdy dude who's like, I mean, he's like, you get it, dude. I'm struggling with this responsibility, man. Come on, work with me.
This gives me a great idea for next year, Miles. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite things to do is to buy a very large cigar and stick it in my mouth and shout about Spider-Man. Pretend that I'm J. Jonah Jameson. What if we get you a Spider-Man costume and we spend the 2020 election stalking Mayor Pete and having you try to take pictures of him while I scream?
Okay. Just in the background?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Give me that goddamn Spider-Man pictures!
I mean, I would love... especially weird once he drops out of the race.
Yeah, well, you know, he's in fourth place. Yeah. But, you know, I would love to be on the Secret Service radar.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like if he really wants the Spider-Man experience, having a whole tabloid newsletter dedicated to his exploits.
Careful what you wish for, Miles. The people who work with me have a history of getting on the Secret Service
radar.
That's
very true. Yeah. But I'm not writing books about fighting presidents.
Yeah, that's true. I do like that he's like, well, obviously I would like to be a billionaire like everyone because having an immoral amount of wealth is the ultimate goal here in these United States. I don't know. He's so just clearly defined and like perfect.
Yeah.
As like a perfect realization of who he is.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, it's great. It's like no hot takes there.
Right. I feel like he goes to a focus group like other people go to a therapist and like checks in and is like,
what do I like this week?
Right. What should I be doing more of to relate with the normal person?
If you'd caught him 6 months earlier, he would have said Big Bang Theory.
Right. He's like, oh, Black Miller Bandersnatch.
Big fan.
Big fan, love it. And Ointby. I'm sorry? Mm. Orange is the New Black? Oh, never mind.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And Elizabeth Warren, once again, in some hot water with the very wealthy people.
Look.
You can't buy PR like that.
I was going to, I'm also going to say, hey, Elizabeth Warren, don't, You want these billionaires on your side, lady.
I know. What are you
thinking?
You're going to
be president. What the heck is going on here? You can't be pissing off all the riches.
You got to dog whistle and say, you know, I love Batman. I want to be rich billionaire.
Or
stuff
I'll
like
take
that.
I'll take bigger money in the general, right. But not the primaries.
Yeah. So Narc Sucker Nerd is the latest extremely wealthy person who's not thrilled about the prospect of an Elizabeth Warren presidency.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It kind of worries me since we're still in a soft oligarchy. It does raise questions about like how they're going to fuck with her campaign.
Yeah.
And if she wins presidency and
I'll tell you, I don't really worry about that too much. And it's not because Facebook doesn't have an influence on the election. It's because I don't have any faith that Facebook would actually know how to effectively fuck with an election if they were trying to.
Yeah, the only way they've been able to fuck with an election is by like ignoring shit on their platform.
Sheer incompetence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah,
That was enough.
It's funny how like, you know, everyone I think has maybe written Bernie off because he's just as easily bad news for these people. Like last week we were talking about the CNBC thing where all these like wealthy guys are like, yeah, hey, if it's Warren, we're going all in on Trump or we're sitting this one out. Now you have, I'm forgetting his real name because I just want to say
Zuckerberg.
Nerd. Anyway, Sucker Nerd out here saying sort of the similar thing. But then meanwhile, like Bernie just raised like $25 million this last quarter.
Yeah, Bernie's still out here.
He's out here too.
I don't think they can even
fathom
like
what that
fathom
one is.
A possibility of it's like, social what?
They're like, hey, Hollywood Reporter, make Mayor Pete look really chill to people.
Right.
He likes
tell
Rick
him
and Morty.
Say he likes Rick and Morty.
Hey, Yang Gang, he likes Rick and Morty too. So maybe y'all can funnel this way. But yeah, the Verge got a hold of some audio from this meeting he was having, like Q&A sessions with people, with his employees from July, where people were asking all kinds of questions like, you know, like what about these critics? Like what about the FCC fines, you know, with Senator Warren like moving up in the world? How do we do this? So his first answer was, you know, pretty telling. This was in direct response to the question, which was sort of, With the rise of politicians like Senator Warren, I was wondering how personally worried you are about regulators coming in and breaking up Facebook. And this was his answer.
Like Elizabeth Warren, who thinks that the right answer is to break up the companies, if she gets elected president, then I would bet that we will have a legal challenge, and I would bet that we will win the legal challenge. Does that still suck for us? Yeah, I mean, I don't have to, you know, have a major lawsuit against our own government. I mean, that's not like the position that you want to be in when you're, you know, I mean, it's like we care about our country and like want to work with our government to do good things. And but look, at the end of the day, if someone's going to try to threaten something that existential, you go to the mat and you fight.
Ooh, go to the mat, Mark.
So he said, look, this is my patch. And if you want to step, then we can tussle.
He was just thinking about all the goats he used to slaughter when he said smoking meats. Yeah.
Yeah, just smoking meats, basically.
Yeah.
Mark.
Love to smoke meats. I mean, that whole idea, too. I mean, he was saying, yeah, that would suck. But, you know, I care about my country, shareholders. And, you know, we want to work with the country and make things better. Just not in other countries where our platform's being used to, like, perpetuate genocide and things like that. But anyway, sure, go on. Go off.
Yes.
Go off, King.
And I think he also said that it would make election interference more likely because they wouldn't be able to coordinate the protections
because they've
done such a great job.
Oh, I mean, they nailed it.
Yeah.
Well, this is the answer there. That was part of the answer you gave when sort of addressing the idea of like breaking up these near monopolies.
Yeah.
Like what are we going to do? We're one of those. We're one of Google, Amazon, Facebook that everyone's sort of looking at like what's going on here.
Yeah.
And then he gave a really chill answer that shows he really understands the danger of this just centralized power.
Companies, whether it's Facebook or Google or Amazon, is not actually going to solve the issue. And, you know, it doesn't make election interference less likely, it makes it more likely because now the companies can't coordinate and work together.
Which they did such a good job.
And
they've been nailing that so far.
So good at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like suspending people's accounts who are really the real offenders on that website.
Yeah.
Trump campaign spent $1 million this week on ads to counter the impeachment allegations.
Yeah. And so
nailing it.
You know, at the end of the idea that that's not going to solve the issues. The issues, like, you're missing the point. It's just that complete, you know, that near monopoly on shit that is completely anti-competitive and, you know, squeezes people out. Look what Facebook did to digital media already, just because it was so fucking centralized and their ad sales, you know, essentially changed the way people were making content to consume.
And they also were lying about how many views they things were getting.
Yeah, I knew that. Making video on Facebook, you'd be like, yo, always lead with the Facebook numbers when you're telling a client how well it did, because you get a play if motherfuckers are scrolling through the home screen. Home screen. So that's a view.
Just checked your timeline and the video was like 2 weeks ago. That counts as a play.
Yeah.
All right, let's check in with the whistleblower story.
I mean, wow.
So
every day's a gift.
Mikey P. Pompeo is refusing to let the State Department officials testify.
Yeah,
he kind of went all in. He was angry. It seemed like.
Well, there's, you know, our man, the Secretary of State, forgot he was listening in on that fucking call.
Hey, we all. I remember just the other week. Jack was on the phone with Vladimir Putin, coordinating this week's coverage, like always. Yep, and I was in the background, but I just completely forgot it.
Yeah, it
happens.
You were just listening
it
in.
It does.
Yeah.
And you weren't sure. I was like, honestly, I thought that was a podcast.
I didn't
know what that was.
I wasn't even on the phone. It was just in the vents, like I usually am.
And it was scripted.
Yeah, it just...
This whole thing, right? So they're asking for answers from five department officials. What's his face? The dude who's testifying on Thursday, he resigned. So Mike Pompeo can't tell him shit.
Right.
So he's free to do whatever he wants. But the other five, I think they are really, you know, he's really concerned about them going up to speak to these investigators in the House. Because he says what they're asking for raised, quote, significant legal and procedural concerns and questioned the committee's authority to compel an appearance by officials for a deposition. So, you know, some of the people that he's summoning that they want to be deposed is this guy, Ulrich Breckbull, who is the State Department counselor. And this is one of Pompeo's homeboys from back in the day.
Like,
they went to West Point. They were in the same graduating class at West Point, fucking then Harvard Business School. Then they worked on a Koch brothers funded defense company in Kansas.
Wow.
They're fucking down.
Tight.
And so he's like, you know, his inner circle very much became at the State Department, like his true inner circle of people he trusted. So there's got to be some messy shit going on there.
Right.
That these people, you know, they probably have different goals in mind than, you know, protecting the country. But, you know, a lot of people expected this response from Pompeo because why would this happen? And when they even asked Corin Lewandowski to testify, they got the same thing. And some insiders or people who have been speaking anonymously who work on the Hill have been saying, oh, we're doing that basically like we knew, like we suspected that was going to happen. That way we can add another article of impeachment.
Right.
So then you can say, oh, you're using the State Department to obstruct our investigation.
Right.
You're saying that this person who works for the executive branch who does not, you're having him stonewall us to obstruct this investigation.
Right.
So while sometimes it seems very frustrating to see this kind of shit, that could be what is brewing with these sort of letters that are being sent around.
When he says that the subpoenas are unprecedented, is like ignoring or refusing to comply with the subpoenas also unprecedented? Like that... It didn't happen during previous impeachment inquiries, right? People weren't just like, nah, fuck you.
I mean, at this level.
Yeah, like most of this is unprecedented. Like the whole, nobody's even sure if like McGuire broke the law by not forwarding this complaint to the intelligence committees within a week, because like this has never happened before.
Right.
And, like, yeah, it, like none of this is... this is all pretty unprecedented.
Right. And well, I guess, because it's weird. The wording of what DNI McGuire was supposed to do is very clear.
Yeah.
There's no ambiguity. It's like shall hand it over.
But if it's determined to be of urgent concern, which how do you define that?
Right.
He clearly didn't think it was.
Yeah.
It's
more like, do you guys want to see this? This might be bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
I just got here. I don't really want to be a part of this.
Right.
Well, that is one of the things you notice is that, like, it's in all the coverage you'll read, it's like the acting inspector general.
Right.
We don't have anyone who's been appointed.
Yeah. No one we can confirm.
Yeah.
He doesn't work that much. The president.
Yeah, he doesn't. So.
He's
got a lot of takes.
Well, right, because he doesn't work weekends and he doesn't work most days because he's got executive time where he gets to be pissed.
I mean, he works a solid 2 days a week, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want him working more?
No. But nobody is hired. They haven't even filled some positions like at all.
Yeah.
From Jump Street. Like,
and,
well,
and a lot of diplomatic positions too, which is why like our whole, you know, international relationships are.
Can you think of any other time in history where there a lot of career diplomats were suddenly gone and then there was an international crisis and things went horribly wrong? Never happened before.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, can you give another time in history or since photographs have been around when a president hasn't aged at all since he's been in the presidency? He just looks about the same, you know.
Did you guys see the picture of him with the giant picture book the other day?
No.
Oh, there's a great picture. I think he's getting on a plane. He's wearing like his polo shirt and his big 45 hat. And he's got this huge book in his hands that's like clearly an animal picture book. And one of my colleagues over at Bellingcat, Eric Toller, like figured out that it was this book, like the Big Five Animals of Africa. And it's like just a book with like wildlife photos of like tigers and lions and elephants
and
like information on their like health and stuff. Like it's just like a big book of wildlife photography.
It's kind of adorable. Not for him, I'm assuming, right?
I kind of think it might be. I think he might, as long as
it's not sharks.
This might be the reality of the Bear Channel.
Let's not make the same mistake we did with Bush, where we like turn him into like a child.
It's not a child book.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You're being tried for impeachment. Like, this is a very stressful time. How do you relax? I like looking at cat pictures.
Yeah.
Why I like big meow meows.
Yeah. That's I want to look at a tiger.
I look at a tiger. They're strong. Hey, look this up, Mick. Is there a way to ride a tiger?
Get him the tiger book. He's stressed out.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Like, granted, he's aged. But he, like, other presidents, it's fucking stark, man.
Well, he already looked like shit.
Right.
So it's hard to know how much shittier he looked. But I think the biggest thing you can tell is in his speech and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's really where you're like, ooh.
Well, that was already falling apart before he was president. So another thing that is continuing to happen amid the whistleblower or the impeachment inquiry is he is continuing to respond by threatening violence.
He's brought
up the possibility of a civil war in response to him being removed from office. And he, you know, implied that he wanted to have the whistleblower, whoever supplied the whistleblower with information, killed, basically, because they're a spy.
Tried for treason.
Basically a spy. And he specifically said, Adam Schiff, he had a tweet, Representative Adam Schiff illegally made up a fake and terrible statement, pretended it to be mine as the most important part of my call to the Ukrainian president, and read it aloud to Congress and the American people. It bore no relationship to what I said. Arrest for treason? Which Adam Schiff did a stupid thing where he did like a sarcastic reading of basically the subtext of the call.
Yeah, it wasn't like, a good move.
I love the responsibility of our elected leaders.
Right. I mean, he was not like...
He was just being petty to try and be like funny about it.
Yeah.
When like it's serious enough that you can just do... And I get the desire to do that because you feel like you've been like rhetorically owned. Or not rhetorically owned, but constantly being stonewalled. And like now you finally get to fucking puff your chest out.
Right.
But the right ran with it immediately, edited it, and put it out there completely out of context.
Claimed that he was...
This isn't Saturday Night Live, man.
Right. Right, and nobody who was there and heard what he said in context would have misunderstood his intent or the content of his message in any way. But, you know, it was stupid in that this is the sort of thing that Trump will try to have him killed. And... Robert, you were saying yesterday when you were in the office that you're kind of legitimately worried for the whistleblower's safety.
I sure am.
Because the protections under the law for intelligence community whistleblowers are basically non-existent?
Basically non-existent. There was a law or a presidential directive issued by Obama that added some protections, but it's still like... There's a significant amount of legal precedent, and it's not one-sided because some judges agree with this, but like a lot of judges will say that like what this guy did falls under the Espionage Act, which is a World War I era law that basically says that if you reveal privileged information that you have a reason to believe could impact national security, then that's fucking treason. You can be executed for it, and it's. There's some whistleblowers have been ruled to be in violation of that. Some haven't. Like judges don't entirely agree on it. But Donald Trump, one of the speaking of a guy who's been inconsistent a lot, one thing he's been super consistent about since Snowden came out in 2013, he has always said execute him, execute whistleblowers. Like yeah. Trump was saying that well before 2016.
Now that might seem almost remarkable until you realize he has been consistent about wanting everybody executed.
Yeah.
He wanted Anyone. The Central Park Five executed. Even after they were proven
innocent
by DNA evidence, he wanted them executed.
There's nothing guiltier than being innocent.
Right. Yeah.
Or a person exactly. of color in his eyes.
Right.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, somebody pointed out in an op-ed recently that the Civil War thing, the way that Trump has dangled it or suggested it could happen, it's probably not going to happen. Like, he gets impeached and the people rise up because for him to be impeached by the Senate, like, he would have to have become so unpopular that, like, he wouldn't have enough support to, like... mount a civil war.
I mean, although there are enough like militia groups who have outwardly said, give us the word. Yeah. It might not be like, oh shit, a bunch of people pulled up, but it might be like 100 people with the wrong idea did something.
Yeah, that's my worry is that there's a lot of terror attacks and stuff inspired by something like this. I don't think he's going to get the Army of the Potomac or the Army of Northern Virginia like marching on DC or whatever, but I think a whole lot of terrorism could be inspired.
I mean, that's fair because... What did we find that it was like 22 million to 9 million in the Confederacy versus the Union?
22 in the Union. Yeah.
22 in the Union versus 9 in the Confederacy. So, I mean, it was...
There's at least 9 million people in this country who'd be willing to go to bat with a gun for Donald Trump.
Right. Now, granted, that the country's much bigger than it was then.
Yes.
But still, it's... Like, those numbers, that would still look really bad if he only had... 9 out of 31 million people supporting him, that would be like less than 33%. So that would be like a very, that would be Nixon level approval.
And one thing that really I don't like seeing is like, especially like over on Twitter, there's a bunch of posts pretty regularly that'll be people making some variant of like, oh yeah, like get your rascal scooter ready for the Civil War, or like take some picture of like a fat dude with a gun and be like, oh yeah, you're going to take care of them. And it's one of those things where I think, for one thing, those comments are made by people who don't have a really good understanding of what's happening in rural America, who don't have a real good understanding of like what actually it takes for an insurgency to be dangerous. And I'm very worried that if things go in the worst possible direction, we will look back on comments like that the way that we do now when we read about young men in the lead up to World War One being like, it's going to be over in 3 months. Like, I just hope that I get some time before Christmas comes and the war ends. I hope I can make it to the front for a couple of days.
For some good eating.
Yeah. Where it's just this fundamental, this thing that we see before a lot of wars, because the same thing happened in the Civil War that we had, where it's like you had Union Confederate boys being like, I hope I don't miss the action. Every war, there's like this fundamental misunderstanding of what it's going to be like, because war keeps changing in very concrete ways. And I worry that people are not at all ready for what could happen if the raw. Anyway, look up forward to It Could Happen Here Season 2 with my new co-host, Donald J. Trump. Very excited to bring you this season.
Where we debate how the Civil War will go down. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, when you think of like people like the Oath Keepers, right? Who are like first responders and like ex-military, current military, whatever. Like that's a group of motivated people who are out here.
Trained.
Who are out here, combat. Who helped the elected, some of the elected leaders of the state of Oregon hide from justice recently in order to thwart a democratic process.
Yeah. Right. Like, and threatened to murder any police that came.
Threatened to murder police.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody should be... speaking confidently about being able to out-violence Trump and his supporters.
Like, this is
they are people who gun people. They like to collect and shoot guns.
But the stakes are different, right? There's a group of people who might be comfortable being like, progress is where we need to go versus this other group who's hell-bent on maintaining this like racist status quo.
Right.
And like, this is an existential threat.
Yes.
I think the people, politically, it's an existential threat for a lot of people for Trump to be in office. But I don't know how many people, you know, are thinking the same way like these Oath Keepers who are like, this is our, like, this,
yeah,
is,
this
the
is the
guy.
Last stand.
This is the fucking guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, those, you know, whatever those numbers are, but there are people in a very different headspace in regards to this and are like out here literally saying like, President Trump, give us the word.
Yeah.
Right.
And we will, you know, whatever.
There's been
whatever
people walking down the streets of Portland with right-wing death squad shirts for the last 3 years because they really want to throw leftists out of helicopters.
Right.
Like, and it's one of those things where, like, and this is like, I guess goes into like kind of how there's sort of a racial bias vis-a-vis terrorism on the left too, because if the only difference is these guys were like Islamists saying the same shit, nobody would be like making fun of how mm-hmm. of how overweight they are or how silly they are. They'd be like, oh wow, a bunch of like radicalized armed people are talking about overthrowing the government, we should take this seriously.
Right.
But it's like, ah, they're white Christians, so like they're just fat bubbas, we can ignore them. Yeah. Not a great idea, guys.
No, not a good idea at all.
But yeah, I think your podcast is great listening too, because we have a very abstract idea or a very misinformed idea of what modern armed conflict could look like within this country.
Yeah.
So, you know, another plug.
It could happen here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It gives a really detailed kind of outline of what it would look like if a civil war were to happen
here
in these United States. So briefly, because we were talking about, you know, the fact that the Confederacy was 33% approval. It is worth kind of taking a look at how impeachment is polling, how Trump is polling, now that we've had a couple weeks or like a week and a half since the whole Ukraine shit started hitting the fan. So it seems like the mood is shifting overall.
A lot's shifting.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's just so much shit. And like, again, they don't have a good, the right does not have a effective media strategy to talk about this without being like, ah, oh, well, the fucking, but Hunter, and like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this answer for this. And again, look, a quick tip to the GOP. If your defense for a crime starts off with what about, you look guilty as fuck.
The number one story on like the far right on like Breitbart yesterday was about a photograph of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden golfing with a guy who was on the board with like somebody from that gas company.
Mm-hmm,
they're
mm-hmm,
like, see, mm-hmm. It's all good.
Okay, so should we, if they want to go there, then let's pull out all the books on Trump's kids. But again, that's completely a distraction because we're avoiding talking about what the president actually did.
Right.
And it completely throws everything off. And I think that's how people on the right are able to maintain their sanity at the moment around this, being like, well, yeah, I mean, Joe Biden probably is real sneaky, so maybe the president was looking out for our tax dollars.
I mean, I think people need to start acknowledging there is a like proximity to power bias in this country. Joe Biden's kid did get a shitty like lucky draw where he was probably given a ton of money just for being Joe Biden's kid. And yeah, it all stinks like shit. And yeah, that's not great. Still, like, first of all, this president is as guilty of that as anybody in the entire world. And also, like, that has nothing to do with, I just like worry that the left and also the mainstream media are being like, yeah, but that's beside the point. And like ignoring that it is like the Biden thing is shady. Like independently.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, but
I don't know if it's the kind of corruption, though, that is amounts to like engaging foreign governments to get to the bottom of.
No.
Right.
I think that's where the
no,
media.
Oh, no. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's where the media can yes and these things and be like, yes.
Yeah.
That nepotism maybe should be looked at. I don't. But again, that doesn't excuse what you are doing.
And also just like look at the Obama administration's actual handling of the Ukraine crisis. And it's like. Right. If that's the Obama administration bribed, like you're not getting a lot for your bribe money.
Yeah,
like, we couldn't even get them anti-tank missiles.
Terrible idea.
Like, we really kind of left their asses hanging in the.
Well, but now the mood right around impeachment is his approval rating is now 6 points lower than the support for impeachment.
Right,
and I now support impeachment as the next president.
Yeah, you were saying that you want
if the election was today, would you vote for president impeachment?
I would vote for president impeachment. Great. I think we should just never stop impeaching.
Yeah.
ABI, baby, that always be impeachment.
But yeah, so 41% of voting Americans approve of the way Trump is handling the presidency against 53% who disapprove, and 47% think he should be impeached and removed from office. But as they note in this article, the figure is the same for those who think he should not. However, so
47-47.
Yeah. However, this is a 10-point movement on both in just 5 days.
Right.
And 10 points up for impeachment good, 10 points down for impeachment bad.
Yes, exactly.
Which is, you know, it's actually very similar to what we saw happening with Nixon and stuff, where it's like up at the early stages of the Watergate, people were like, oh, it's not worth it. Don't wow. Like, why do we give a shit?
I was shocked at how late it was in the proceedings. Like,
well,
Nixon being removed from office when he resigned was only 57%, first of all. Like, it was 57% support for that. And he had only recently surpassed 50. It was under 50%, like, for basically years of the Watergate investigation.
Right.
The idea of removing him from office didn't have a majority. And then, like, it was, like, the last week, they were like, there was a tape released that had Nixon saying, yes, do the cover up of the crime.
Yes, crime. Crime as hard as you can.
Crime it up.
Do the crime. And
crime it up, baby.
He was...
God,
that's
Nixon.
When people changed, and he immediately resigned. That was like a week before he resigned, or like a couple weeks. Trump overall approval, disapproval numbers are starting to move. Like, he was 9%+ underwater when the news first started breaking. Now he's 12% under. And also, anecdotal, but I've talked before about how I stay subscribed to a Breitbart mailing subscription thing, and I got an email from them. It's almost always just a scam email aimed at getting old people to invest in something that Bill O'Reilly supports.
Mm-hmm. How much gold have you bought in the last year, Jack?
Oh my God, I have over 50% of my assets in gold. So this investment scam supported by Bill O'Reilly, their email today was bragging that Trump had retweeted a link to an event where Bill O'Reilly was selling his pro-Trump book and scamming old people out of their money. And they were like, look, Trump supports our scamming old people out of their money. Because I don't think that's what was happening. I think Trump was just like, hey, this book is good about me. But they also said, after they screen grabbed his tweet, they said, love him or hate him, you can't ignore this. So they're making room for people love on the right hating him, which is definitely not what I've come to expect from Breitbart.
I mean, love him or hate him, he could end all human life with a push of a button.
Yeah, yes. With a fucking tantrum.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I mean,
one of my favorite side stories that did not get nearly enough play is the, I think it was the 46th Secretary of State after Trump got elected, took to Twitter, and all he would do was repeatedly explain to people, oh no, there's no checks and balances with the nukes. He can do whatever he wants with the nukes. Everybody should know the president has no checks on his power to end the world.
Unless someone physically breaks the law and like just was like, I'm going to restrain the president or something.
Yeah, it's like, clearly is just I wish people would ask any of the candidates about that. It's like, well, do you think we should change anything about that?
Yeah.
Should we just keep hoping that he's the last unhinged, doddering old man who becomes president?
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, he can have a fuck you temper tantrum button that just irreversibly changes.
No, that's a really good point. We're not going to talk about that. We're just going to keep talking about taxes. Okay.
That should become a thing.
Yeah.
Especially in the Democratic primary. Like, how are you going to limit the powers of the executive? Like, it's out of control, and this has been a complete disaster for the country.
One of the great points everybody makes about how climate change should be getting more talk is that, like, yeah, the whole future of the species is on the line with climate change, but also with the nukes. I feel like that's one that we really can say is right up there with climate. It'll change the climate too
very quickly.
What a laugh. We have fun here. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
And we're back, and so is that Ukrainian child /adult. So we talked last week, I think, on the show about how the horror movie The Orphan was coming true because a woman had come out and basically said that a child she adopted who was supposed to be 6 was actually 22, I believe.
Yeah.
It
was putting bleach in her coffee, shoving electrified
oh my god.
Yeah, would stand over her with a knife.
Jesus.
Yeah, she would wake up and she'd be standing over with a knife.
This is horrible.
Well, yeah, well, and at the time it was like sort of being disputed because these parents are being charged with like child abandonment because they're like, no, like this is an adult who tried to kill us and we're trying to say like we can't be a guardian to this person.
To this adult.
And they're like, that's why we're in Canada because we're taking care of our other child we do acknowledge as being the parents of.
Right.
And this is some adult who tried to fucking kill us.
Right. And who attacked a baby while we were taking care of the baby.
Well, do we know if that baby provoked him?
Yeah, that's
exactly.
True. Yeah.
I mean, there was tape. So yeah. I think, wasn't it seen over a baby monitor?
It was seen over. So there was not tape. It was just the
live feed.
Forward to the Eli Roth movie about this in a year and a half.
Right.
Well, there already is a movie. It's called Orphan, and it's
essentially
basically beat for beat this story. But there's also a prolonged legal battle now because it's hard to prove that she's like. There's a thing called a bone density test, and she has been found to be like a child and also an adult in like different, I guess it's enough that like you can have one doctor take it with an eye towards proving that they're a child and they'll be able to prove that in another. So,
I mean, I think a big sign was that she had all of her adult teeth.
All of her adult teeth and full pubic hair at 6, which
for what they believed was 6.
Yes.
God, there's just never a time pubic hair's come up in a court case and it not been a terrible court case.
Yeah. It's never good.
Never good.
But anyways, I think the Daily Mail has located the child on social media, or the child, the orphan.
Yeah.
The adoptee on Natalia, I think her name is.
Oh, of course.
They located her on social media. She is now living as a child with a different family. So according to her timeline, she's 15. They still appear to be dressing her in children's clothes, but the parents are apparently aware of all of this and choosing to just treat her like the child she chooses to live as. And,
oh, boy.
You know, as long as she's not...
poisoning their coffee with bleach?
Yeah. Poison, like trying to murder them?
Yeah.
That is the minimum I ask for in a roommate, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if my roommate chooses to live as a child, but that's what makes them happy and feel like they're living a fulfilled life, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, they believe what, she's 13 or 14 at the moment?
15.
Oh, 15.
Or no, I'm sorry, 16 she would be.
Oh, okay, got it. And they seem very devoted to all of their adopted children.
Yeah, they seem like a really lovely family.
I wonder if she figured out, she's like, all right, I got to tone it back a little bit.
Right.
If I want like a family unit to stay in, I got to dial back the killing stuff.
Right. The talking about how...
They don't teach you that in orphan school.
No.
Yeah.
And that's when you got to learn on the streets.
Yeah.
When did Orphan come out? Is it possible that she was in a facility where the movie Orphan was on loop and gave her a bunch of bad ideas?
No, I think it was after... the fact.
Oh, then she should actually be suing the studio.
Right.
For infringing on her intellectual property.
Well, let's talk about something equally terrifying. The official Dunkin' Donuts Halloween costume.
Oh, I love this.
Wait, there's a Dunkin'?
They nailed it.
What the fuck is a Dunkin'? You go as a donut?
Right. So we talked previously about how Taco Bell is putting out Halloween costumes.
Yep.
Food-based clothing is the wave right now. Fast food-based clothing. And Dunkin' Donuts decided to join the Halloween costume with, so that, you know, there's a saying that we have in these parts, America runs on Dunkin'. And the way they express this is outline of the United States, outline of man running, and then Dunkin'. Clever.
Oh, you know, America run on, and then it's above Dunkin'.
America run Dunkin'.
I wonder how many hundreds of thousands of dollars that ad campaign cost to put together.
Right. So,
and how do we know the tense based on those images?
Right.
It could be rant, run, yeah. Running?
America run Dunkin'.
It could be
Dunkin'.
America.
That would suggest that that Dunkin' Donuts is run by a popular vote. From all
right,
Americans.
Right.
I mean, it could also, just looking at the image, it could also suggest that America reenacts the Ministry of Silly Walk sketch from Monty Python over Dunkin'.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It looks like the person could be falling down while trying to do a yoga pose.
Yeah.
But
or Superman.
They've decided that they want to, the yellow stick or the pink stick figure is how they decided to turn the concept of Dunkin' into a Halloween costume.
Brilliant.
And it is basically like that.
It's Charlie Day, but in
from
Always Sunny, but in a pink costume instead of a green one.
Yeah, and apparently there's a rubber man from season one of American Horror Story that is just a person in like a full black rubber, full body, full face, black rubber.
Like gimp suit?
Gimp suit, essentially. And this is the pink version of that.
It's such a dumb, it has, in my, I mean, you must really be a Dunkin' Donuts fan. I'm sure Jamie Loftus would know the significance of this. But if I saw it, I'd be like, what, so people are now Pink Man? Like we're off Green Man now?
Yeah, it's a terrible idea in every conceivable way. And the only thing that gives me comfort is knowing that the people responsible for this idea make more money than, say, nurses.
Or teachers, right?
Yeah, or teachers. Oh, yeah. So much more. You could run two or three schools. Jesus. With
and they're
cost
succeeding by us covering it.
They are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I didn't say they didn't earn every dime, Jack.
Yeah.
Every penny.
For sure. Apparently also Community did a thing. And all of the pop culture references where they do this
it's
are a reference to how creepy it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, good luck to Dunkin'. I think a donut maybe would have been a better idea. or a food item.
Oh, they don't play up the donuts part. That's why they're just dunking.
They're just dunking, man. We do a lot, man. We got dippy, stickies, and sandies, and
Miles, you're not thinking outside of the donut box.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys want to hear what I would have done as the ad campaign?
Of course I want to know what kind of idea you have about this.
Just a black poster with red letters. Starbucks coffee smells like cat piss.
Wow.
No other branding. Just straight up go
with
that.
Just an attack on Starbucks.
Yeah, just an attack on Starbucks. And eventually people figure it out for themselves who's funding this campaign, who's paying
for
all of these.
Do you believe that Starbucks?
Yeah, I think it smells like cat piss.
Do you believe in life after love?
Yes.
I don't know why.
I can feel something inside me say, I really don't, I don't think you're strong enough.
Okay.
Oh. Mm. And I know that I can get through this. But back to the cat piss thing. Is it just their drip coffee? I don't really get coffee.
I only get drip coffee. I don't like the mixes, but they're
so
drip
you're a
coffee.
Dunkin' man, huh?
There's tartness to it that reminds me of drinking cat piss.
If I'm going to pick coffee from like a big chain that's everywhere, I will pick Dunkin' ahead of Starbucks all the time. Oh. I'll pick Pete's ahead of Dunkin'. Obviously Phil's is the best of the chains that we have access to here on the West Coast.
Is that right?
They do a decent Turkish. Yeah. Yeah. It's not actually Jezva coffee, but they put a little bit of cardamom in it and some mint.
Whoa.
It nails it.
What
yeah.
is that?
What is a Turkish?
Turkish coffee? Well, like actual Turkish coffee is usually made in this
rectally?
Weird pot. Jack, does Turkish mean butt to you?
No, I was just curious what a Turkish was.
It's like, yeah, like they have a special type of pot that they make it in, but like also oh, nice. Turkish and Arabic coffee often includes cardamom, which is really good in a black
coffee.
So they
spice up your life.
And sometimes a little bit of like mint or something. If you get a Sarajevo coffee, it's a Turkish coffee served with a cigarette, which is...
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like what, they'll give you a loosey
with it? Yeah,
you
go into the Balkans. Yeah, they'll give you a fucking cigarette with your
one loose
Jezva.
Cigarette with your coffee.
If that's a Sarajevo coffee.
But if you're like, give me Sarajevo, then if you don't say give me Sarajevo, there's no
it'll
cigarette.
Say it on the menu, Sarajevo coffee. That's how I figured it out. I was like, oh, wow. I've tried a lot of coffees. I'll try a Sarajevo coffee. And it was just Turkish coffee with a cigarette.
Was
on
it
the
lit?
Plate.
Like somebody had,
no.
smoked part of it?
But Home Dude popped a lighter out as
really?
Soon as the I
Home
set the
dude.
Thing down. He knew I wanted it.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, fuck. That they didn't write about that in Zlata's diary.
Go to the Balkans, yo.
Did y'all have to read that book?
No.
Zlata's diary back in the 90s. That was about like
about
she was
Sarajevo.
Growing up in Sarajevo.
No.
Oh, man.
Did anything bad happen there at some point?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Yeah, I've only read the history of Bosnia from like 1998 to present, and it seems like a pretty smooth ride.
Yeah, from when, yeah. If we bury our heads in the sands like we do in the American.
Yeah.
In the American. Oh, see? I need my Dunkin'.
Is Pete's the most caffeinated coffee of the chains? I think I read that.
Really?
Somewhere.
Is that even a thing? Like
those numbers?
Are they flexing on each other with their caffeine count?
No, you have to like look at the website Caffeine Informer.
Pizza's
Wait, the
coffee?
Website Caffeine Informer? Is
yes.
that a real fucking
Jack,
thing?
Jack, you just changed my life.
Hold on.
Yeah,
caffeine
bro. Y'all
Informer.
Y'all don't know about caffeine. You know slammy, slammy, yum,
though. I'm trying to get jittery now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Caffeine Informer is great.
Caribou Coffee, the complete caffeine. Well, this is... I'm going to have to cancel our recording sessions for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Just to look at Caffeine Informer?
Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts Coffee Caffeine Content Guide.
Damn. Caribou is very caffeinated.
Yeah.
Also, tastes similar to Dunkin', so maybe Dunkin's more caffeinated than I thought.
Oh, they're really out here, like, ranking this shit.
They are.
Yeah, they do the milligrams and everything.
They have a whole chart if you're like, hey, if you want La Colombe.
I've never talked about Caffeine Informer on
no,
the
you
podcast.
Haven't.
You're
incredible.
Like keeping that. You're hiding a child from us, Jack.
You're hiding a child.
Okay, Drake of caffeine.
Could we just turn this website into a podcast?
You are hiding a child.
Damn, dude. The large caribou brewed coffee, 385 milligrams of caffeine.
That's a lot of caffeine.
Is that a lot?
That is a substantial amount. So for some comparison, the large for a brood of Dunkin's is just 300. That means that a caribou coffee large has more than a Dunkin' extra large of brewed coffee.
Oh, okay.
Damn, son. Where'd you find those?
Caffeine Informer.
Let's talk about the Joker movie. So there's stories that are coming out basically on the daily about how this movie is a threat because it's basically, it's created what Time Magazine is saying, a character who could be the patron saint of incels slash film.
I have some bad news for them.
Put it more subtly, that there already is one.
Yeah, that there's a couple.
Elliot Rodgers. The slash film critic was like, feels like if Scorsese made Taxi Driver as a comic book film, amazing performance, great score, but I'm not sure it knows what it's trying to say, could potentially be dangerous for the wrong person to watch. I think those are fine things to
I think it's a mixture of like people believing that violent film and TV makes people act violent. And also a lot of residual trauma from the Aurora shooting, we've begun to attach this sort of mythos around what the Joker character could inspire people to.
Yeah, so that is something that I had, that had stuck to me, the myth that the shooter at the Aurora shooting, who shot up a movie theater where The Dark Knight Rises was being played, that he had said the words "I am the Joker" when he was arrested. That myth comes from Raymond Kelly, former NYPD chief, who had no bearing on the arrest, or you know, and police who did arrest him were like, "We don't know where that came from." He had dyed hair, in my mind, he was dressed as the Joker. In my memory of the story, not at all.
He was dressed like a mass shooter.
Right.
Right.
He was extremely mentally ill.
He was very mentally ill. He had a weird set of beliefs about that he didn't have any value as a person for some like weird esoteric reason, and that by killing other people that would increase like his relative.
Right.
Like he was a profoundly mentally ill young man who had which is actually pretty uncommon in mass shooters, who had a long history of he'd been working with a therapist who's was very concerned about him, and it had nothing at all to do other than the fact that he wanted to kill people, so he picked what would be the most popular showing, the fucking Dark Knight Rises.
It could have been fucking the Jumanji remake if it had been a year later.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. My timing isn't exactly right. It could have been the King's Speech.
Right.
Could have been a year
later. Well, it seems like there's a lot of agencies, too, drumming up even more fear. Like, a lot of official notices going out to people about, hey, like, be careful with this movie.
Did you read the Army notices to, off-duty soldiers where they're like...
Find 2 points of exit.
Yeah.
Keep your head on a swivel.
And it's like, they're not warning you how to, be safe with your off-duty in a Baghdad bazaar. They're talking about going to a Cinemark. Yeah. Like, that's not a great sign for the culture.
And they were instructed to run, hide, fight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, because also, can you really call the Joker an incel? Because Harley Quinn, he had a main thing.
The Joker, the Joker is, what's the polite way to phrase this? Dripping in it. I mean, the Joker, right? Like, he's a sexy guy. Everybody thinks the Joker's sexy. Heath Ledger played him last time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I wanted to fuck the Joker.
Everybody
for sure.
wants to fuck the Joker. That's never been debated in our culture.
Right.
But I think it's just that the story that they're presenting of his backstory is like, there are too many people are going to relate to. And it's funny because Todd Phillips, the director, has been really fucking terrible at talking about this film.
Yeah.
It turned into people are people are freaking out for no fucking reason, blah, blah, blah. It's funny because one thing that we should note is that there was a woman who was actually inspired by a Todd Phillips film to do something bad. If you remember in Wedding Crashers, the Visine and the drink move, a woman did that to her fiance. And when they arrested her, she was like, oh, I think I saw it in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. I mean, and that does fuck you up real bad.
It's not great.
But recently, just the other day, I think yesterday, he had an interview in Vanity Fair, and he was basically saying that first, he's like, this isn't some kind of incel like anthem, but also woke culture is ruining everything.
Yes.
And he says, this is a direct quote
finally,
from this thing. He says,
say it, King.
Go try to be funny nowadays with this woke culture.
There were articles
written about why comedies don't work anymore. I'll tell you why, because all the fucking funny guys are like, fuck this shit, because I don't want to offend you. It's hard to argue with 30 million people on Twitter. You just can't do it, right? So you just go, I'm out. And you know what? With all my comedies, I think that what comedies in general all have in common is they're irreverent. So I go, how do I do something irreverent but fuck comedy? Oh, I know. Let's take the comic book movie universe and turn it on its head with this. And so that's really where that came from.
Oh, God.
Cool.
Again, so disingenuous to just blame the societal progress on your inability to adapt your ability to create new ideas.
I mean, he does have a point in that you can't do an irreverent comedy anymore, which is why Always Sunny in Philadelphia is only on season 14. South Park is only on season 25. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of the many people who gets paid tens of millions of dollars to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about all the funny guys.
There's no comedy on TV. Right. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Between Two Ferns movie, but I think that was probably completely directed by PC culture.
Right.
Because he doesn't stay in line with PC culture, Dave Chappelle can't get millions of dollars to be part of an incredibly popular Netflix series anymore, which is why nobody's heard from him in years.
Todd Phillips. I think he's not willing to see what other people are seeing about his project without taking it like personal offense to it.
Yeah. And like we said, some of the shit that's being directed at his movie is somewhat baseless, but it has nothing to do with woke PC culture and the fact that, you know, our politics are evolving and improving and you should still be funny unless you have really problematic beliefs.
I think that, what the actual threat from this is, I would say, it's theoretically possible. Some person who is very unbalanced sees this and decides to do something as a result of it, just like with Taxi Driver convinced somebody to shoot at the president. There's always a chance of that just because there's a lot of people who have all sorts of different shit going in their heads, and you never know when someone's going to watch Wedding Crashers and decide to poison their spouse or whatever. I think the much likelier thing is that this is used as a joke by the next Channer who decides to shoot up or whatever, and they decide to blame it on the Joker movie just because it's going to cause a shit fit and it's going to get people talking, just like sort of the Christchurch shooter included all those references to Spyro the Dragon and stuff. Subscribe to PewDiePie, because that's 1,000 times likelier than any of these people actually being inspired by the movie is them being like, well, if I name drop the Joker before I go on this mass shooting, then that's going to like dominate the narrative and I'll get extra days out of the news cycle about this and it'll do more to like lead to the unraveling of this country, which is my ultimate goal as a mass shooter with these weird white nationalist beliefs. Like, and so in that case, you could argue that just sort of like the massive media debate that's been kicked up over like, is this movie dangerous or not, is actually the most potentially dangerous thing about it, because everybody's like focusing on like, is this going to spawn a mass shooter? So mass shooter's like, oh shit, well, if I want to really stand out, because it is a crowded field for mass shootings these days, if I want to stand out, name drop the Joker before somebody else does.
And you can just tell it's just exploiting an existing fear that people have, because I mean this, and it's completely a product of just our reality in this country where people commit these atrocities and some people are sort of savvy in terms of the internet and like to infuse other cultural touch points to try and amplify their effect, or at least the discussion around it.
Yeah. So. One thing that a lot of people don't tell you is that when he shot Reagan, inspired by Taxi Driver, to impress Jodie Foster, Jodie Foster was actually really impressed.
She was really down. She
was that the whole deal? Like he had it all mixed up in his head or something? Yeah.
He didn't even hate Reagan. He just wanted to,
But so it wasn't just that. It was also another thing that was mixed in there was the assassination of John Lennon and the Beatles. And he was inspired by the person who shot John Lennon and their relationship to Catcher in the Rye, I think, was tied in there.
Like the actual, whenever you look at the actual shootings that have been, or the actual crimes that have been inspired by movies, the problem is never the movie. The problem is always like that we have this completely broken mental health care system. And so there's just going to be a certain number of people out there who are going to like find inspiration in whatever because they have a serious problem that desperately needs help.
Right.
But the vast majority of our people who do shit like that aren't inspired by a movie. They're inspired by months and years of propaganda to carry out what they see as a military attack.
Right.
Like, which is why you're seeing more of that lately than just some rando shooting up a school.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, that and the easy access to those weapons to make that even as efficient as
possible. It sure don't help. Yeah.
No. So in conclusion, we should keep the Joker movie from being released, but allow Fox News to keep being on every day where they tell you that you're under attack
from and make
your
sure
neighbors.
Really got to keep the price of AR-15s low.
Yes.
Definitely lower than a month of therapy.
Right.
Well, because the subtext of all this is like, let's blame the Joker and not the systemic issues that lead to the formations of these kinds of personalities.
Because it's really easy. Because then you ask, like, well, how do we deal with this? Well, it's like, okay, well, we got to ban guns. It's like, well, but we got this Second Amendment thing, this large chunk of the country that won't go with that. And so then now we've got this political battle. And it's like, ah, fuck that. Let's just talk about the Joker.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think Todd Phillips sucks. Huh? Media? What? Where did I get involved?
All right. That's it for today. We're not going to take another quick break. We're going to just fucking leave.
Switcheroo.
Robert, it's been so fun having you, man.
It's been great being here.
Where can people find you?
On Twitter at iWriteOkay. I have a podcast called Behind the Bastards, which you can listen to if you like podcasts about terrible people.
Who are you talking about this week?
We're about to talk about the Clown World meme. I don't know when that one will be dropping, but the president just retweeted from the Clown World stuff. So that's a fun one. That's going to be a fun meme to really get into. We did a Jerry Falwell episode recently. I'm excited for that one to drop. And I have another podcast with Katie and Cody from Some More News, called Worst Year Ever, which is about the worst year ever, 1972. So
you guys said that about somewhere in, I think when they came on Behind the Bastards and never clarified that you were joking. So I will do that now and point out that it is about the current political atmosphere and 2020 being the worst year ever, contrary to what Robert thinks as the host of the show. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying, friend?
Yeah, it's a tweet from months ago, but it still makes me laugh every time I read it. And it's from Darcy Wilder, who's one of my favorite Twitterers. Has anyone ever shown Ted Kaczynski a GIF? I think it might change his mind.
That's funny. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me, follow me, Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Before I get to my tweets, though, I want to let people know, again, October 16th, 7 p.m., okay, in Chicago, at the Hungry Brain, okay, you can see Super Producer Anna Hosnier and Shireen Younes do their show Ethnically Ambiguous live for the Chicago Podcast Festival. We were there last year, so please pull up. Get your tickets at, just search Chicago Podcast Festival. Get your tickets. Show up.
Now.
There might be some cool merch. There might be something signed. You don't know. You might never know, but you won't know until you go. There, man, Twitter went off. I actually have a few I like. First one is from Xtina_Catherine. It says, I used to work at a boutique in Hollywood. Billy Zane shopped there so often we made it into a game. Whoever could say his full name to his face the most time wins. The restroom is closed, Billy Zane. Those look great on you, Billy Zane.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I don't smoke, Billy Zane. Just the idea of saying Billy Zane's name to his face. Another one from at L. Brambram. High school teachers you could be real with. History teachers, English teachers, high school teachers that were cops. Math teachers, gym teachers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, from Prim Awesome, at Prim Awesome, Mike Primavera, says, my neighbor told me coyotes keep eating his outdoor cats, so I asked how many cats he has, and he said he just goes to the shelter and gets a new cat afterwards. So I said, it sounds like he's just feeding shelter cats to coyotes, and then his daughter started crying.
Oh, my God.
And then finally, just because there is Trump's Alert is that account that like follows all like the Trump family, like their likes and their follows, retweets and shit. And they said that real Donald Trump's account liked this tweet from Eric Swalwell.
Yes.
And it's basically Eric Swalwell tweeted, intimidating witnesses and threatening investigators is what most innocent people do when facing charges.
Yes.
And then he liked that.
Yes.
Come the fuck on.
He's like, exactly.
Exactly, I'm innocent.
Wow.
I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Cody Johnson tweeted, dating apps are good because you get to meet so many entrepreneurs. Mirror Celeb tweeted, Kanye West claims LA is, quote, run by Satan on his new album. And Satan at S8N tweeted, he needs to mind his business.
Yeah, facts.
Facts. Fred Delicious tweeted, nobody says butt munch anymore, despite people eating ass at unprecedented levels. Bog Person tweeted, everyone smokes a bunch now and wants to die and has detailed opinions about art, and it felt cool and interesting until I realized we're just becoming France. And Leon tweeted, if she's your girl, then why is she heating me in a tartara at 1200 degrees Celsius and folding me over and over to draw out any undissolved impurities before forging me into a 7-layered blade? It's a good question from Leon. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Okay, for the song, let's go out on something light, a little up-tempo, because, you know, bit of a heavy episode. This one is from Toa Tay. Now, Toa Tay is this producer who got his start with the group D-Light. If you remember, Groove is in the Heart. Okay?
Groove is in the Heart.
Great producer, and also made a great song called Tech Nova featuring Bebel Gilberto, the fantastic Brazilian vocalist. You might remember this. If you actually listen to this song all the way through and you're a Tribe Called Quest fan, you might recognize this as a sample from Find A Way from the Love Movement album that was helped produced by J Dilla.
Okay.
A little bit of hip-hop history for you.
Okay.
Yeah, so take this little it's a groover. You know what I mean? It feels lighthearted.
Miles
get your shoulders popping.
Some real good music in the office, so I don't know which one this is, but it's probably very good. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Fuggy lane, I've been told. Fuggy lane, I've been told. Fuggy lane, I've been told. All the glitters. Fuggy lane, I've been told. Fuggy lane, I've been told. Fuggy lane, I've been told.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.